Boring if you weren't. Greetings of grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our sermon text for this fifth Sunday after Easter is going to be taken from the Gospel of John. The Gospel of John, and we're going to read from chapter 15. And we're going to read verses 1 through 14. And if you will honor the Word of God, if you are willing and able to stand for the reading of the Gospel text. Gospel of John, chapter 15, beginning at verse 1. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers, and the branches are gathered and thrown into the fire and burned. If you abide in me and my word abides in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments, and I abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that someone would lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command of you. Amen. Please be seated. Gracious Heavenly Father, this is your word that is before us. We don't want to hear from man. We don't want to hear from Jesse. We ask by the power of your Holy Spirit that you would speak, that you would sanctify us in the truth, because we know, Father, your word is truth. We ask this in Christ Jesus' name. Amen. This could almost be a mushy text. And we, you know, we act tough sometimes and we don't like mushy. But what it speaks about is love. And love is a very, very powerful agent, if I could say. There is something about love that allows us, we'll even say, well, you know, they're blinded by love. When it comes to our own family members, when it comes to individuals, we'll turn around and we'll see some things that are kind of inconsistent with the way we think. But because we love them, we don't say anything. We're not going to rock the boat. God loves us. And if we had a moment, we would understand that there's a lot of inconsistency in our lives. My life. I don't need to take time to look at your life. I can hardly keep track of my own. But God loves us. And he doesn't hold us to the fire on every little inconsistency. We would never get anything done. We would never be embraced that way. So God desired in his love for us to give us a balm, to give us an encouragement. Now I know why I move all the time, because I can see better over here with that phone. I can't see. To give us an encouragement. He opens this text speaking about who he is. I've always thought that this text kind of more talks about who we are right away. And then I was reading through it. And it doesn't. It speaks about who he is. And we will never have that great relationship, that strengthening relationship with God the Father, if we don't know who Christ Jesus is. See, he doesn't start out by saying, you are the branches. That's farther down. Maybe you knew that. Maybe you're a better, you know, Bible scholar than I am. But I always kind of thought, in the back of my mind, it talked about us being branches and he being the vine. He is the vine. King James says that God is the husbandman. And I think that's a little more in like a more compassionate term. But he's the vine dresser. So Jesus is the vine. And God the Father is the vine dresser. He's the gardener. And he's taking care of things. And he has a purpose. There's these vines and then these branches. And if these branches don't actually put out fruit, they're more detrimental to the vine, to the whole thing, the whole tree, if you could say in that way. So you get rid of them. But then there's other ways to encourage those branches to bring out more fruit. And so it really speaks to me about the fact of God's in control of it all. But we don't always get that. We think there's a system that we can follow. There's something that we can do. And so the first thing that I want to do as a pastor today is I want to thank you for being here. I do, and I'm not being funny. And I look out and I see parents with children. And I want to thank you for being here. And I see children actually here in this room. And I want to thank the children for being here because I'm sure you could have found maybe more entertaining things to do today. We expect that there's a system that we can incorporate to get people involved in the church and then maybe they'll stick. It's like grafting them or something. But that's not how the body of Christ works. See, we actually allow God, through the power of his word, by the power of the Holy Spirit, to work in people's lives. And we don't have an innate accountability on that. We think we do. Well, maybe when they're 17, they'll click on and then they'll sit here. Don't even tell me, you parents, that it wouldn't be easier just to just say, ah, stay out of here. Let me enjoy. But the fact of it is that there's so many times that you will hear even a young child hear pastor say something a little goofy and they'll talk about it. What did Evie say? She wanted a kingdom? Her own kingdom. I was preaching a few weeks ago about the kingdom and I was talking about, you know, how God has created this kingdom and she asked her mom if she could have her own kingdom. She like her own kingdom. Those moments are powerful because that means they're absorbing. And it's a teaching moment. I kept thinking of Natalie Hupp this morning. Uh-oh, now I'm in trouble, right? But we treat sometimes our friends, our family, we treat them like they're pets to be dropped off and groomed. And sometimes we go driving through this carport or people come driving through this carport. And don't get me wrong, we'll do it every time. We'll take them. And we'll drop them off and hope they get groomed and we'll pick them up and we'll go our way. But we have a vested interest in each and every one of our children, each and every one of our family members, that we would actually step alongside of them and mentor them and encourage them, not just drop them off like a drive-thru. And so when I see parents in here, when I see young adults, when I see individuals coming on their own, my heart leaps with joy because that means there's a desire for truth to be known. And the truth that is to be known is found in Jesus Christ. And the greatest way to bring this out is through the attributes of love. That we would love people right where they're at. We're having an interesting board meeting, and I don't think it's, you can read it in the minutes if you want, but it was talking about the fact of what is the vision of our church. And I've been stating this for a few years because someone else asked me a few years ago, what do you see as the vision of our church? Well, what's our little slogan on our bulletins? Knowing him and making him known. That's fine. I don't know if you knew that from memory. You look at a bulletin every Sunday. It's on there. But there's some people that don't know we have Bible study too. And it's in the bulletin every Sunday. And I'm just saying that as we're not observant. But my desire as a congregation is to love people where they're at. To love people where they're at. Because not everybody's perfect. Jesus says very plainly in the previous chapter to our reading today, he says, I'm giving you a new commandment. We're always running around trying to figure out what to do for God as Christians, and I'm not making fun of it. It's good to have that desire. There's times in my life I've sat down and said, man, I wish God would just tell me what to do. He did. He says, I'm giving you a new commandment, that you would love one another, not as your neighbor. Because sometimes I stink at that. That you would love one another as I have loved you. Unconditionally. Sacrificially. And that's when a church in reality will continue to grow. It's not through what we can perform or what systems we can put into place. It is when we love people enough to tell them the truth. When we love people enough to step alongside of them, not just one pastor, but actually the body of Christ. When we love people to serve, to encourage. So Jesus opens very straightforwardly here. After he promises the Holy Spirit, after he promises all the stuff in chapter 14, he gives some great stuff. And boy, I tell you, you should read that. He says, I am the true vine. The way I'd like to say this is he says, I am the living vine. I am the one where all life comes forth from. He says, I am the true vine. He says, and my Father, he is the vine dresser. And he has a purpose. And his purpose, he says, is that every branch that is in me that does not bear fruit, he takes it away. See, in my humanness, I want to do that job. I want to figure out who really is in and who is out and who's doing well and who's not and who is worthy and who isn't. This isn't our job at all. Our job is to enter into a world and bring love where it is so foreign, to bring understanding where it is so foreign. But he says, my Father does have a job. See, and he's going to take care of you. Even with this understanding of removing branches, I don't need to spend time on that. What he's saying is God knows what is good for the body, what is good for the church, and he will take care of it. Do we trust that? Pretty cool, eh? Every branch that does not bear fruit, he prunes. He says in reality, no, I mean, he removes. And anyone that does bear fruit, he prunes it. I think this is just such a gentle side of God that he takes the time to actually work with that branch that it would put out more fruit. God has a purpose for all of our lives, every single one of us. We may wonder at times what it is. But he will encourage it if we would but seek from him and allow him to do this work. See, Jesse's not so hot at this. Jesse kind of figures out, you know, in his life, well, I'm gonna take on this attribute, or I'm going to take this attribute, and I'm going to do this or this or this. I'm going to change things up. Trust God. See, I rip on myself a lot in my preaching, and I've caught some slack for that, and that's fine. Thank you for sticking up for me. That's very kind of you. I hope you do it for your brothers and sisters in Christ, too. You can't get mad at me for picking on me. But if I started telling you everything I thought about you or making your ills known, that wouldn't go over very well, would it? It's practical. But the other part of this thing is to understand and know that we are all human. That just because I stand near a pulpit at times doesn't make me any more holy than you. And God has a purpose for all of us, and he will work in our lives. And see, there's times in my ministry where I've wanted to prune my own branch. There is. I remember one time an elder pastor was very encouraging to me because there was another pastor that had spoken at a convention, and this guy, people just love him. And he's very, very lovable. And I remember talking to this elder pastor about that, and I said, I wish I could be more like so-and-so. And he looked at me and he said, God has created you to be who you are. Don't try to be anybody else. God is the one that prunes. There's things that I have stepped out of line on, and maybe it's a brother or sister that will bring it to me, but God ultimately is the one that convinced me. Jesse, was that necessary? God is the one to convince me. See, and this is what he promises us. We have a purpose, all of us. I may not know what your purpose is, and maybe at times you're wondering what it is too, but God sees you, and he desires for you to flourish, and he desires for you to be a powerful attribute in the kingdom of God, in his tree. We talk about family trees all the time. And he will continue to encourage you to bear more fruit. And you may not even understand and know that that fruit is coming forth because it comes naturally. You know, as Luther says, the tree puts forth the fruit doesn't put forth the tree. We don't do good works to become a Christian. Because we are Christians, because we are tied to that vine, we will naturally do things that'll bring honor and glory to God. He says, already you are clean, he says, because of that word that I've spoken to you. And really, he talks about that in verse 7 also. He says, when you abide in my word, then you are tied to me. He says, by my word, you are made clean. Not by your actions. Not by what you can perform. Not by your own pruning. How are we maturing in the faith? We mature in the faith by the more we understand the word, by more what God reveals to us in and through his word. It is by his word that we are allowed to grow and to flourish. It's like a very powerful fertilizer. You know, when we take it in, it gives us sisu. It gives us ability. How many times have you struggled in your life and then a scripture verse will come to you and you realize, greater is he that is in me than he that is in that world. And we're encouraged for another moment. Gold is never worth anything till it's tried through the fire. Oh, we're encouraged by the word. Have you ever been encouraged by the word? Yeah. His word is what really cleanses us, what works in us. And the other part of it is then how often are we taking it in? Are we just doing a drive-through? We drop off the kids and hope they get it and we head home? I can't chastise you for it. As telling the Bible study, it's like beating the sheep. I mean, you're here. Praise God. But we are also the example for our children to see. I never felt that, I shouldn't say never, but I really didn't feel that, say, partaking in certain things was totally wrong. You can't name them because then you get phone calls. But my children, my eldest son one time came to me and he said, Dad, you've never preached against a certain thing, but I've never seen you do it. And I'm talking not as a pastor, I'm saying as a father. I never ridiculed or beat up or slammed an idea in his head on a certain subject, about a certain subject. He said, but I've never seen you partake in it, ever. Why not? Because I am not going to be the example of that for him. He needs to make his own decisions. Our children look up to us. Our children look to us. Now, if we're dealing with the aspect of growing the church, are we involved in it? I'm not saying you got to come here every day and hold up a banner and try to figure out what to do, but is it a part of our living life every day? Doesn't mean that you have to sit in this pew every day. You got to go to work. But is it an effectual part of our lives? That will speak more volumes than any program or curriculum we can get going. When we bring them out to Lutti and say, we're not calling it kids camp this year, it's going to be Zion Family Retreat. When we bring them out there, are we just dropping them off at the door and saying, that's for you, not for me? Are we involved? Do they see it's important to us? Very cool stuff. But he says, God is the one to do that. He's the one to bear and allow that to bear more fruit. He says, you are clean by the words I've spoken to you. He says, so abide in me and I in you. He says, because a branch cannot bear fruit of itself If it doesn't have that life-sustaining vine, it'll wither up and die. He says, neither can you. You can't bear fruit if you're not tied to me. He says, I am the vine. Then he comes into this thing. You are the branches. Brothers and sisters in Christ, he says, I am your provision, and I am giving you the ability to bear fruit. How's that going? How's that going for us? He says, I am the vine, you are the branches, and whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears what? Not just little bits. Bountiful fruit. Bountiful fruit. Do we see that in our lives? And I'm not using this as a judgment statement. Do we actually understand and know the bounty of fruit that God has allowed us to have in this world to put out a beautiful bushel of fruit? Everyone, you know, Brother Mark got up here and he prayed, and he prayed rightfully that wherever we go as believers in Jesus Christ, that we are representing him. Whether it is a store clerk, whether it is working at a gas station, whether it's building a home, whether it's teaching students, milking a cow, we represent him. And every opportunity is an opportunity to bring forth God's bounty. But often, this is the amazing thing. When we're tied to him, we'll never realize we're doing it. It's not a bragging right. When did we do these things? When did we see you when you were hungry? When did we see you when you were thirsty? They asked Jesus. When you've done it to the least of these, my brethren, you have done it to me. Being tied to that vine, we are the branches, and we bring forth much fruit. Not just a little bit, not sparingly, much fruit. And this is one of my favorite parts of Scripture in all the Bible, and I will say it. He says very plainly, verse 5, the end of it, apart from me, you can do nothing. We can't do a thing. If Christ Jesus is not the center of our ministry, if Christ Jesus is not the center of everything that we do as a congregation, as a body, as people, then we in reality are a sounding brass. We can do nothing. We can have all the programs we want. We can turn around and revamp everything if we want to. And I'm not saying that that's all wrong. But we need to preach the word of God above and beyond anything else. We need to have that relationship with Christ Jesus, not just your pastor, all of us. We are his children. He has, in reality, fed us. He says, we can do nothing aside from him. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers. And the branches are gathered up and burned. And this we always like to turn into a big judgment statement. Well, you know, the Lord's going to get you for that. No, what he's really saying here, as he says in another part of the scripture, he says, when you are not tied to Christ, then your value is diminished. See, and that's the problem. We're always looking for our value as fallen human beings in this world, oftentimes. Disclaimer, oftentimes. And we're not going to find our true value. None of us will find our true value until we see our value in and through Jesus Christ. And without him, the value is gone. It's like twigs that you would use for a quick small fire to cook something, as he says in another place. Like the grass of the field, here one day and gone the next. But in Christ Jesus, our value is immense and our fruit is very powerful. He's not saying this to damn people. We are the ministers of the gospel. We are ministers of hope. We are encouragers of light. He says, if you abide in me, he says, my words abide in you. And he says, and ask. Ask whatever it is you need of. He says, and it will be done for you. I do like how the King James says this a little more. Because the King James says, ask anything in my name, and I will do it. This doesn't make our God a genie in a bottle. What he's really sharing and he's encouraging with them, he says, when you are in my will, when you are tied to me, he says, and you are operating in the auspice of bringing forth fruit, nothing will stop you. And so, to clarify for you, right, whatever you have need of in the ministry, ask, and he will give it to you. He will do the work. It is Christ Jesus in us, not me. I don't want to say sugar daddy, but too many times we try to turn him into that, where he's a genie in a bottle when we need him, and we rub it, and we ask for this. He's not saying you're going to get a new Cadillac. You want one of those, go work for it. But he's saying, whatever you have need of to accomplish my will upon this earth as being tied to the vine, as fruit producers, I will do it. That's an encouragement. If for some unstrained reason you need a Cadillac to preach the gospel, he'll get you one. Prosperity gospel there, eh? I got one for $300. Didn't say what kind it would be. And I use it for visitation all the time. So if you need a $300 one, he'll probably find you one. But the point is, he says, whatever you have need of, I will do that work. He says, and it will be done for you, because in reality, it's done for the body. He says, this is how the Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit. How do you bear fruit? By being tied to Christ, by knowing him, and he working in and through you. And it's almost like, you almost want to say like that sap, and this is too carnal, but I'll say it anyways because I feel like it. It's like there's that vine and it has the power of the Holy Spirit running through its veins, right? That sap. And then now that branch receives that same thing and we put forth fruit. Just a beautiful imagery if you want to say it. But he says very plainly, this is what brings honor and glory to God. In other words, people, when they see the fruit, they see God at work. They see God at work. Well, if this is just a McDonald's drive-thru for some people, how is that going to work? Like I said, we'll receive anybody. But how much more beneficial? And don't get me wrong, I love that they want their children to come. But how much more powerful if dad comes in with them, if mom comes in with them? How much more of a powerful testimony would there be there? So I was telling Judy today on the way in, I don't think we really have a child problem. Our Sunday school still has a good amount of kids. With COVID times, we still have a good amount of kids. I think we have a parent problem. And I pray that God will open their hearts, that they would feel the need to come and to worship with their children. This is what bears much fruit. And this is what brings honor and glory to God the Father, that fruit comes forth. He says, as the Father has loved me, he says, I love you. Unconditional, unending, ever flowing. He says, I love you. He says, if you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept what my Father has desired from me, he says, and I abide in his love. He says, these things I'm speaking to you. Why? Because I want you to be happy. We walk around sometimes like somebody licked all the frosting off our cake. Have you ever been thankful for what we have? That's one of the things I think we need to remember, even as a congregation. I honestly ask that every one of us would praise God the Father that we are doing as well as we are with a congregation with as many people as we have during this time. It's been a pandemic where some churches have gone bankrupt. We're immensely blessed. We're immensely blessed. He says, I want your joy, my joy to be in you and your joy to be full. In other words, that extra dose of that Holy Spirit, whatever it may be, I want you to have it. Are you joyful? If not, and Jesse's not always joyful, what are we looking at? We're probably looking at some external things. Maybe we're looking at numbers. Maybe we're looking at balance sheets. Maybe we're looking at something else. No. Look to God the Father through Jesus Christ and be thankful for the power of the Holy Spirit still working in his body. Encourage people to have that fellowship with God the Father. He says that your joy would be full. And then he turns around and he gives us the answer. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. That's what I love about Zion. I'm going to talk about Zion. Zion loves people. In fact, I've actually had someone tell me Zion's too friendly. I said, that's good, I'll take that. And we all can approve, there's no doubt about it. But Zion, you have made me proud because you love the people that come through this door. Because that's what we're called to do. We're not all going to think alike. We're not all going to have the same ideas. But we all can love unconditionally, just as Christ has loved us. He says, no greater love is this, that someone would lay down their life for their friends. And he says, and you are my friends. And he's going to lay down his life. But you are my friends if you mimic me in love. That's what I'm going to add. He says, you are my friends if you do what I command you. He just told us what he wanted. Love unconditionally. Yeah, not everybody's going to think like you. Not everybody's going to do exactly what we think they should be doing. And they may not act exactly how we think they should act. But allow God to fix that. Allow his word to impact that. You think I'm a piece of work now? You should have met me 31 years ago before I married my wife. Now, if you knew me then, as my brother does, you will know there's a God. Just go love people. Don't worry about the details. For Jesus' name's sake. Amen. Let's unite our hearts in a word of prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, we praise and we thank you for this opportunity to gather around your word. Father, we thank you that your word is an encouragement. It is a light. Father, we are not the children of dark. We are called to the promise of hope in and through Jesus Christ. And Father, thank you. Thank you for everyone that is here today. Thank you for those that have brought a friend. Thank you for those that have encouraged a friend. Thank you for those that have brought a child and continue to be with their children. But Father, also, we pray for everyone that will drive through this driveway, that they would feel the love and the acceptance of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ even as they drive through that gate. And Father, that they would feel a presence of your Spirit to bring them in. And Father, we pray for every family. We pray for all the struggles that they're having, whether it's dealing with the issues of this COVID, whether it's dealing with our government, whether it's dealing with finances, whether it's dealing with marital problems. We lift everyone before you. And we ask that you would allow the power of your Holy Spirit to cleanse us, to encourage us, and to change us so that we would have the fruit of the Spirit. Thank you for being gracious. Thank you for being kind. And thank you for your provision. Now the Lord bless us and keep us. The Lord make his face to shine upon us and be gracious unto us. The Lord lift his countenance upon us. Give us everlasting peace. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.